Welcome to the Encouraging Word featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and today's message on motivation, scriptural motivation. We're headed to Revelation chapter 22 in just a moment, but there have been so many folks asking about and meeting us online about a book called Abandoned Faith. It's a remarkable book fighting literally for the heart and soul of your millennial child. Maybe you're in that situation where this book would be a great resource for you. Maybe you need someone to pray with you about your child, no matter what age they are. We would be happy to do so and love to connect it. 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. We'd love to get to know you and would quite frankly love to just be an encourager to you as you are an encourager to us. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
After all, we've discovered many, many things that God has said and God has taught us through His Word, using His angels at His express command. What would God have to say to us through angels? And so I began to look in God's Word, and I came to the conclusion that the best way and the best place to look concerning angels and the future would be the very last chapter of the Bible. And so I went to Revelation chapter 22. And I want you to open your Bibles right now and turn with me this morning to Revelation and chapter 22. And to my absolute joy, I discovered that angels have a major part to play in the future. And so today I'm going to speak to you on a message entitled, Why Angels Motivate Us. Why they motivate us. When I think of all the hopes and the aspirations and dreams, I need to be motivated. All of us need motivated. We need to be motivated to do the things that we do because we know that God is motivating us to do them. It's an incentive. And so I looked at this passage here in Revelation chapter 22, and I began to discover some incredible truths about the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word and how that God uses angels even here in the final book, the final verses of the entire Word of God. I'm going to read it for you, and I want us to stop every now and again. We will pause. Verse 1 of Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. Good place to stop, right there. Now let's just put this into context. This passage here, and leading up to this passage, deals with one place. It's called heaven. None of us have been there. We have many friends and loved ones who are in heaven, and we have a lot of questions about heaven, but none of us who are listening today and worshiping the Lord today in person, none of us have the privilege yet of being in that wonderful place called heaven. And here in Revelation chapter 22, the Bible tells us that the angel revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos some very distinctive things about a time and a place that none of us have been to. In fact, what the angel is doing here, he is providing a motivation for who we are as believers and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us a couple of things. He talks here about heaven, for example. And he tells us that heaven is a city. Have you ever wondered what heaven is going to be like? Some people, including myself, have grown up, for the most part, thinking that heaven is going to be a cloud or a bunch of clouds, and we're going to be sitting on the cloud, floating around. Well, that may have some truth somewhere, but the Bible tells us that heaven is a city. In fact, this particular passage even describes it even more. It's got streets. We do know something about the streets in the city called heaven. We know that the streets are going to be paved with gold. We are given wonderful descriptions in chapter 19 about what heaven is going to look like in some of the finer details. But here in the last glimpse of what God gives to us about eternal glory, God describes this place where we are going to go and be, and he uses his angels to do that. And he not only says to us that the river of the water of life is going to be flowing down the center of this place called heaven. That is eternal life. Why water? Because we are born of water and of the Spirit. And we are born because of what Jesus Christ has done for us in that Jesus died upon the cross. And the Bible says that eternal life is flowing down the middle of the great street of the city, down from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now the angel here is talking about a number of things. He's telling us that that eternal life is manifest in this place called heaven. The Bible also says that the throne of God is the centerpiece of heaven. Everything in heaven is going to revolve around the throne of God, and I'm going to show you something more about that in just a moment. It's a marvelous picture that God gives to us, but he also juxtaposes the title of the Son of God, who is the Lamb of God. Why was Jesus called the Lamb of God? Because of his sacrifice. Jesus was as a lamb led to the slaughter. Jesus did that willingly. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. That is why we read, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the water of life, the river of life, the throne of God made possible by the Lamb of God surrounded by the people of God." The angel is beginning to present an incredible picture of where we're all going to be for all time and eternity in this place called heaven. Now I want you to watch what happens here. The Bible says in verse 2 that on each side of the river stood the tree of life. By the way, when do we first hear about the tree of life, ladies and gentlemen? In Genesis. Genesis, we read about the tree of life. What is the angel doing? The angel is not only speaking about time future, he's not only speaking about time present, he is talking about time past. Now, when you connect time past, time present, and time future, what are you talking about? You're talking about eternal life. And that is why in the last chapter of the book of Almighty God, the angel is used to connect the beginning from the end. Why? Because the one who sits upon the throne is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the first and he's the last. And therein lies the essence and the truth of eternal life in Christ Jesus. The angel is the one that God uses at this point. Well, let's read about it. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. All people are involved. All people are subject. All people are recipients of the grace of God. Verse 3 tells us something about what is going to take place in heaven. No longer will there be any curse. What is the curse? When did we first hear about the curse? In the beginning, Adam and Eve sinned. That became the curse. Adam sinned. In Adam all die, but in Christ Jesus all people are what? Are made alive. Therefore, in heaven, Revelation chapter 22, there will no longer be any curse. God in Christ Jesus has set us free. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Who are his servants? All believers. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Everybody here this morning, touch your forehead. Everybody, come on. Touch your forehead. Bible gives us a description, not only here, but in many places in Scripture. What are we going to look like? Are we going to have names? The Bible says we're going to have names. We're going to identify one another. We're going to recognize one another. We're going to have faces. We're going to live together for all time and for all eternity. God is motivating God's people for the future. All right, let's stick with this. Look what happens. Verse 5. There will be no more night. Can you imagine that? I'm going to be delighted because it means I'm going to get to preach. I don't have to have any more light shining in my face. You know what? The Bible says there's no need for any light because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And His light is so brilliant and He is so radiant that His very presence seated upon the throne of God as the centerpiece of heaven itself is going to light the eternal ages and everything that ever encompasses the sovereignty of Almighty God is going to be lit up by the Lamb of God. It says it right there. There will no longer be any night, for they will not need the light or a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and forever. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angel to show His servants the things that must soon take place. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, the one to whom God gave this prophecy, I am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard them and seen them, look what John does. I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. What have we learnt about angels among many other things? Do not revere or worship anything other than God. God does not give us permission to revere saints, to worship saints, to worship angels, to worship any other being. In fact, we're going to discover that that is what idolatry is all about. And the Bible says that idolaters cannot be on the inside of heaven. They are going to be outside of heaven. They have no part of who God is. And the Word of God says here that when he began to worship the angel, verse 9, but he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you, said the angel, and with your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then the angel told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to be right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. For Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates to the city called heaven.
With excitement, we think ahead to heaven, but we also think of those in our own circle that until they give their heart to Christ are not going to be there in heaven. Is there somebody that you'd like us to pray with you, to pray about maybe the way you'll be reaching out to them or that God would just soften their heart? We're connecting right now online, keyboard to keyboard at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. We would love to pray with you and for you. We can do that on the phone as well at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. Now back to today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
And then verse 15 is a horrible verse. Outside are the dogs. Those who practice magic arts. Someone asked me just recently in our community, is there anything wrong with magic? Yes. Yes. That's why I don't want to have anything to do with it. Palm reading and reading stars and playing Ouija boards and Dungeons and Dragons. I don't believe that any of our young people should be going to see movies like Dungeons and Dragons. I reject that, not because of this preacher, but because the Bible explicitly speaks about magic and magic arts. And the Bible says those who practice magic arts the sexually immoral, the murderers, here it is, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches, because I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. What an incredible invitation. And whoever wishes, God is not selective when it comes to his grace. Whoever wishes, whosoever will. God does not damn some and choose to save others. God is the God of grace, and Jesus Christ died for all people. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And then comes a stern warning right there in verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all of God's people. Thus it has been spoken. Thus it has been written. This is the word of God. Amen. Salah. And so let it be. God has spoken. What an incredible thing to think about. Angels, what a role they play here in these final chapters of the Word of God. As I began to think about how angels motivate me, I thought of four areas where angels motivate me personally. And I want to share them with you. Number one, angels motivate me to study. That's it, to study. It's been remarkable. I would never have known, even though I'm seminary trained and a preacher, I would never have guessed in my dreams that God would have so much to say to my heart through angels. All the doctrine and all the truth and the absoluteness of God's grace. What angels have motivated me to do is to study a whole lot more. The more I study, the more I realize I don't know. What do angels do for us? Angels have motivated me to keep on studying the Word of God. That's what angels motivate me to do. They don't motivate me just to build a building. They don't motivate me to do all these other kinds. They motivate me to study God's Word. Because the more I study God's Word, the more I discover what it is that God wants and expects of me, and the more I'm motivated to live a life that is well-pleasing to Him. Number two, angels motivate me to witness for Him. In all the things that go on in life, there is nothing more important than witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a grand thing to think that we can worship the Lord together here today. I'm so glad that you're here with us. I'm so grateful for the thousands of people in nursing homes and retirement centers, sitting in their living rooms in sick beds. I'm so grateful for all the people who are worshiping the Lord at this moment, all across the world worshiping the Lord. But friend, there's nothing more important than witnessing for the Lord Jesus. Do you know Him today? Have you trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior? I want to personally recommend Him to you. I want you to know that there's nothing more wonderful in this world than knowing this Jesus. There's a third thing that angels motivate me to do, and that is to go myself. Not only to study and to witness, but to go. To be involved. Not all of us can go, but all of us can be involved. And being involved is going. But there's a fourth thing that angels have motivated me to do, and that is to give. To give. You might say to me today, Pastor, what's the most important thing about giving to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there are lots of things that are important. You see, what angels do for me, friends, they motivate me to study. They motivate me to witness. They motivate me to go. They motivate me to give. Why? Let me give you two reasons why. Write these down. Number one, because they teach us how to worship. Angels teach us how to worship. Turn very quickly to chapter 15 of the book of Revelation. Everybody turn there. You've got to see this. Turn to Revelation chapter 5, not 15. Revelation chapter 5, I beg your pardon. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. All right. Angels motivate us when it comes to the future, to the new year. Why? Number one, because they teach us how to worship. Look at chapter 5 and verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. What were they doing? They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang together. Here is the song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing together. Here's what they sang. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and forever. The four living creatures said, Amen. So be it. Thus it has been written. God has spoken. And the consequence were that the elders fell down and began to worship Almighty God. They were gathered together. And I'm going to submit to you, my friends, that angels motivate us because they teach us how to worship God. If you and I worship God in the beauty of His holiness, everything else is going to fall into place. What does it tell us about worship here? Just want to give this to you, just food for thought. Four things. Number one, I want you to notice they gathered in large groups. These were real large groups, 10,000 times 10,000. I don't think that the illustration here or the moral here is that we need to be in a small group or a large group, but there's something very special about gathering in a group like this and singing and praising God. Number two, I want you to notice they surrounded the throne of God. The throne of God was not only the centerpiece of heaven, but the throne of God was the centerpiece of the activities of those who gathered to worship Him. I want to tell you something, friends. The Bible says that when the angels gathered together to worship, they got themselves into a holy huddle. They were focused. They gathered together around the greatest head coach of all time, and they listened to him, and they worshiped him, and they directed everything to him. They worshiped him in the beauty of his holiness. Listen, friends, angels motivate us to worship. You know why? Because they were focused on the one who was upon the throne. Number three, I noted there that they sang with a loud voice. They lifted up their voices before Almighty God, according to verse 12. And number four, they honored the Lamb. The content of their praise and worship was all directed to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. What an incredible motivation. Oh yeah, angels do motivate us. They motivate us because they teach us how to worship. And when we worship the Lord and we point everything toward the Lord Jesus and we fall down upon our faces and we are focused upon Him as the great head coach, I believe that every play we make in the walk of life is going to be according to the plan of Almighty God. And friend, when we play plays according to the greatest head coach of all time, we can do nothing but win the game of life. But they not only motivate us because they teach us how to worship, they motivate us because they hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Flip over to chapter 19 very quickly. Chapter 19. The Bible says this in verse 10. At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, the angel said, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is why you must worship God. What does it mean to hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ? It means to have a conviction in your heart that nothing else matters excepting Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Friends, we are going to be building buildings, but the buildings are not important. What is important is that we keep the main thing, that our focus is on Jesus Christ and on Him crucified. It is not important the things we do and the place we go and the money we give. The important thing is the main thing is the main thing, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, these angels, the Bible says, they held to the testimony of Jesus. They had a conviction in their hearts about the testimony of Jesus. They understood who Jesus Christ was, and they knew within their hearts and within their lives that nothing else mattered excepting the Lord Jesus Christ. What a motivation!
Indeed, what motivation. And could it be that by the Spirit of God, you are motivated today to make that choice? Maybe you've listened to a lot of the pastor's teachings. Maybe many of the things on the radio stations we're on the podcast that you download, you're hearing truth. And like me, you are beginning to understand the truth, but now are ready to accept the truth, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Would you take a moment and hear these closing thoughts from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
You're listening to The Encouraging Word, and it could be more than that. You've been listening to the voice of Dr. Don Wilton as he was praying, but in your own heart, you've been listening to God calling you home. I pray that if you've just given your life to Jesus Christ, or perhaps you just prayed along with the pastor and rededicated your life to Christ, that you would allow us the privilege of not only praying for you, but praying with you in the coming days and weeks as you grow in your faith. We have wonderful resources Dr. Don has prepared just for you. They're free, of course. If you've given your life to Jesus and rededicated your life, call us and let us put them in your hands. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That is 866-899-9673. You'll find that number and other ways to connect on our website as well at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, you'll find great resources like this.
Our nation is in trouble. Many voices are speaking in our world. We must learn to apply biblical truths to the times in which we now live. With your gift of support to the Encouraging Word this month, you will receive Dr. Wilton's classic and timely message, The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times. Messages include The Antichrist, Apostasy, Part 1 and 2, and What One Man Can Do for a Nation. This message will be sent to you for your gift of $20 or more in support of The Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
I do hope you'll call and get that Abandoned Faith and Great Awakening resource, but know the number is also there just to talk or listen or pray. We're here at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And online at tewonline.org.